If everybody's ready, I'd like to call to order the Economic Development Subcommittee of the Sylvania City Council's Employee and Community Relations Committee. It's 6:22 on February 18th, 2014. Present tonight are all members of council: Lutke, Brown, Capellini, Hussman, Westfall, Milder, and Hanum, Mayor Stow, members of the administration: Aller, Sanford, Brining, Schroyer, and Rodas, Paul Tepenekel, representing Pogelmeier, and Natalie Trusso from the Blade. We have a couple of items tonight and a couple of subsets of the second item, which is downtown parking. I am not hopeful that we're going to get it all done tonight. We have an hour and 5 minutes, I think. But I will propose, when we get to the parking piece, maybe a little bit of a different order of things to see if we can get some of the big issues off the table tonight and come back and talk a little bit about the civic lot tonight, and then again at perhaps a second meeting. But in addition to that, we need to do some decision making around the notion of Tier 2 grant application for downtown beautification. We've had this in council before, and that was before the state changed the way that grant was handled. So I'd like to turn it over to Bill, and he can kind of give us a quick background about what we need to do tonight, and then turn it over to Paul.
Thank you, Mark. As Mark stated, with the Tier 2 program last year, we decided not to apply for the grant as the rules had changed. We did apply for the Tier 3 grant, and were not awarded that grant. That's a bit different from the Tier 2. The Tier 2 is probably more appropriate for what we want to do, and this is a follow-up to when we did our downtown plan a couple of years ago. And again, Paul Tepenek is here from Pogelmeier Design, and to help explain the grant and how it works, and I know he has a handout that will help explain things. And again, it's designated to help and benefit downtown areas, and again, it's something that we could that would primarily benefit the property owners that are located in our downtown area. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to Paul, and then we'll have some questions.
Good evening. I'm here to talk about the downtown grant funded by the state of Ohio. This is federal community development block grant money that the state receives. And as Bill mentioned, this program has changed. A few years ago, the state funded the downtown revitalization program in three separate programs. One was a Tier 1, which I believe the city of Sylvania was fortunate to get a $15,000 grant, which was matched dollar for dollar to prepare your downtown plan. The state then had a Tier 2, which was up to $400,000 for actual implementation of that plan. Then they had a Tier 3, which what they call a target of opportunity, which they could provide up to $300,000 for special projects in your downtown. Because of the cuts in the federal program, the state changed their downtown program. And now it's a competitive grant. It's one of three that the state is funding. The other two are neighborhood revitalization, and the other is critical infrastructure. But in the past, where communities could apply directly to the state for the downtown grant, now they have to apply through the county. And partly because of change in demographics, some of the smaller communities are now not being funded directly by the state. So in Lucas County, those communities that are interested in those three competitive grants, neighborhood revite, critical infrastructure, and downtown, have to go through Lucas County. Lucas County will then have to apply on your behalf. To make things a little more complicated, the state is basically telling the counties they can apply for only three of these competitive grants: one, critical infrastructure, and two, it could be two downtowns or two neighborhood revites or one of each, but no more than three. Also, if the county has previously submitted an application, and then the following year they have interest. So for example, last year Lucas County submitted a proposal, a grant application for White House for a downtown competitive grant. and they were funded. So now this year, they're limited to only one. So instead of three, they could only apply for two. Bill and I met with Lucas County soon after the holidays, I think early January. We met with Megan Fahey, cashier. The county is aware that the city of Sylvania may be interested in applying, and I believe that Lucas County will at least endorse her application and submit it to the state. Applications are due June 20th. Even though you apply through the state, it doesn't mean that you're going to get funded. In the little handout that I gave you on the last page, I'll show you the 2013 competitive grants under downtown. Three were submitted, three were funded. I believe 10 or 11 proposals or applications were submitted. Pogemeyer prepared Ashtabula's in Lucas County. The City of Defiance did their own. So out of the three, we prepared two. This is a competitive program. You will be competing with all the other communities that are also applying. Some of the, I think, benefits that I would recommend that if you are interested in applying is what other resources may you be putting towards your grant application. The maximum amount is $300,000. For example, the White House application, the community was able to get property owners to commit to certain improvements to their buildings up to $200,000, so therefore they applied for $200,000 for the grant, $70,000 for some park projects next to the downtown, and $30,000 for administration. So that was the $300,000 that they applied for. This was also leveraged with some in-kind administrative services that White House put forward. I think it was $82,000. They also had $300,000+ for out of the capital budget for the park improvements, which piggybacked and leveraged the other money from the grant. So, like I said, it's very competitive. Some of the things that in the past the state required is an approved downtown plan. They're not as picky now as they were previously. They also want to make sure that your community has design review guidelines. Since this is federal money, many of the funds that will be used will be on historic buildings or buildings that are potentially eligible for the National Register. So any type of repairs would have to adhere to the Department of Interior standards and guidelines for rehab and historic buildings, meaning that any and all repairs would have to be reviewed by the Ohio Historic Preservation Office as well. But it's something that, you know, we've done in a lot of other communities, and it's really not all that difficult. As far as the administration of the grant, this has been a little interesting because in the past, when communities were able to submit their own application to the state, they could procure for services, hire their consultants, architects, whatever, and then they would help them put together the application, and if funded, help them administer it. Now it's a little different. Since it's going through the county, sometimes the county has a different consultant to help them with their federal programs. So for the example of White House procured our services, we helped them prepare the grant, but when it came to administration of the grant, the county insisted on using the other consultant for the administration. So that's something that we would need to figure out up front so that we don't, that there's no issues after the fact. The county may have an additional deadline as to when they want the application in. Their full application is due to the state on June 20th. Many times the county will have another deadline as to interested communities that are interested in applying for funding, and then maybe in March or whatever. I have not seen that date yet from Lucas County, but that's an important date that I will try to get for you on your behalf. As far as what other activities you can fund, many communities use this for a facade program. So if a business entity is going to provide some of their own investment into the property, the city through the grant could provide up to $10,000 as an incentive, and then that $10,000 could be forgiven over a period of 5 years or 10 years as an incentive for the property owner to invest in their building. Infrastructure improvements, streetscape improvements, those are all eligible under the grant program. And ideally, the target area would be what was already identified in your plan the think I hit most all of the highlights. Any questions?
Yeah, I have. What checks and balances are in place to stop it from becoming political when they submit? They can only submit 2 or 3 minutes. What checks and balances?
I don't know if there are. This is the second year, so it's going to be interesting to see what has occurred. The state has also reduced the number of communities that are eligible for funding, partly because of the administration and monitoring requirements. So now there's a floor, depending on your population, other distress criteria. 75,000 is the floor, so the state's not going to fund you under that. And what I'm talking about is the federal CDBG allocation program from the county. The county gets another pool of money. It's roughly about $230,000 every year from CDBG, and they can fund 3 projects throughout the county. In the past, the county has, I think, funded the Sylvania Senior Center. They funded their community development center out in the west part of Toledo. I think the Area Office of Aging. So they have other little pools of money that they decide. But for these competitive grant programs, it's basically, you know, the community within the county talking to the commissioners and the staff, and, you know, their interest or maybe getting in line for those grants. So I don't know whether I answered your question, but that's what I know.
Paul, I have a question related to a little bit to that. If the county can only submit 3 proposals and 2 of them of this kind, 1 or 2, is there some sort of a pre-review process? I mean, clearly we could submit a proposal and the county could decide that they're not going to submit it, right? So what kind of a process is there in place to help us get a sense of where we stand in the
category? I know of no current process that Lucas County has, and I think part of their problem has been a change of staff. The people that we worked with 2 years ago are no longer there.
At the county or in the state?
With the county.
Okay.
With the county. That's something that obviously the county would need to, you know, put together to at least help them make a decision.
So we could go through the process, put together our proposal, and have it get shot down at the county level.
Conceivably. Yeah. I can also tell you that the city of Maumee is interested in the downtown grant as well. We've worked with them in the past. I was able to get them the discretionary grant for one of the buildings downtown, and they're about finished with that. But again, if you go as first come, first serve, obviously something that you need to consider first. But again, that's just my observation up to the commissioners and the administration.
Do you think there would be any consideration in, like, so Maumee has gotten 2 of these before the process changed, then they got the building one. I mean,
Maumee has gotten 4 of these downtown grants. They've also gotten a discretionary grant, so they've been aggressive. And again, now things are changing because of the amount of funding that's available. But again, now with this additional hurdle, it'll be up to the county, at least for this.
I'm just wondering, even at the state level, are they going to say, oh, Maumee again? Are we really going to give them 5? Or, oh, look, Sylvania, they are the
same. What I've been told is they look at the merits of the application for the proposal and what other money is being leveraged.
Is there a scoring?
In competition with all the other communities that have applied.
Is there a scoring matrix? Or
the state does have their own scoring.
They have an established procedure for scoring the grants?
The state does.
Okay, so
sometimes they let us see that, and sometimes they don't. But they do have the requirements of the application of what they need from the community.
So they don't have a publicly disclosed mechanism for evaluating these grants?
They may have. Yeah.
Third page.
Page 66.
Yep. And one of the other.
Yeah, but how do they allocate these points? Who, do they just sit around in a room and allocate points, or is there?
The administrative staff in the state, yes.
That's interesting.
Could this be used for parking projects?
It can be if it's a public-owned parking lot. If it's a private-owned parking lot, that investment could be used as leverage. But again, they're going to want to take a look at your plan, like what it is called for, and if the improvement aligns to what has been proposed and what you are recommending for that specific site and block, it will help your application.
Are you preparing Mommy's too?
They have not decided, and they're also aware that you guys, Sylvania's interested, and I do not know whether they have spoken with the county or not.
I think the question though is, is Pogemeyer involved with Mommy?
Yes.
At this point, we have, no, not at this point. Like I said, we're finishing the discretionary grant right now, it's under construction. And I get, they're looking at it, but they understand the dynamics as well.
When you said that the staff was changing at the county, has it already changed, or is it still like in the process of changing? Like, are there actual people in the positions, or?
Yes, Megan is the new chief of planning and development, and Diana Miner is another staff person that works with the CDBG program and their housing program. So they're in place.
There's nothing that would prevent us from talking to them or to our county commissioners about something we wanted to do it.
Right. I think that the issue here is that if we wanted to proceed with this, clearly we need to have technical assistance, I believe. Pogemeyer is here because they've worked with us on a variety of zoning matters before. Obviously, Danielle, who was at Pogemeyer and now has moved on, has developed some, I think, pre-work. I don't know, Paul, if the work that Danielle did can be applied to this in any way. But, yeah, okay. So the question becomes, you know, do we want to move forward? Bill, what is the exact proposition on the table here? There's a contract that we're talking about.
In talking with Paul, it seems that if we would hire Pogemeyer to prepare the grant for us, it'd be $7,500.
And what do we get for that?
The actual application. That would have to go first to the county, and then if it goes to the county, then it would be forwarded down to the state.
Right. And did I understand from talking to you the other day that unlike the previous grant applications, we actually need to specify what the money will go for, what the projects will be?
Yes, and I think the project that Paul mentioned in White House, I think there were about 20 different property owners that were benefiting from that.
But they were lined up and ready to go before they actually submitted the proposal, is that right?
That's part of the process. You'd have to meet with the property owners, identify projects, and that's something that would be done in preparing the grant.
So we haven't, as of today, we haven't identified the work that we want to do?
That's correct. We'd have to meet with the property owners. And again, that I think the deadline that when we did meet with Megan, and again, Megan was not in place last year when we talked about this, so now she's the person to go through, and I think they would like to see something in April at least. I think that's, we'd have to.
Megan is who again, Megan?
Megan is the point person for the county that would.
What's her name?
Megan Behin Cesari.
You may remember her from a previous stint in city government, Doug. She worked for Mayor Ford.
I think I do. Okay. And what's her title?
Chief of Planning and Development.
So I think just to be plain about this, we're sort of starting at point zero, right? We need to not only put the grant application together, but we need to concept, I think, as a city council or as an administration in city council, what we want to focus on, where the money is going to be best spent. Maybe the administration has given this some thought. I don't know. But it's kind of a sprint, I think, to be able to start now, almost in March, and get this thing done by April. Mayor, have you had some discussion around the staff table?
Yeah, on several occasions, and we've been hot and cold on this one. And Phil, I'm going to look to you to tell us where we're standing right now. We've been on and off on this one.
I think it's still, you know, attainable to, if we wanted to offer this and to see what kind of interest we have from the different different property owners, but I think Mark's right in that to get some more input on potential projects. You know, I hadn't thought about the parking, but again, White House used it, about $70,000 of the grant went toward a park development that they were doing in their downtown. So there could be more of a public component that would make sense with what we want to do.
But this could definitely be used for private sector buildings as well and projects.
It's primarily for the private sector.
So, Bill, do you know how much money White House put into the benefit of the property owners, not themselves?
They had $200,000 of commitments from the property owners, which they signed as to, you know, should the grant be available, and a $10,000 grant be available, would you be willing to invest and how much? And they got 200,000 commitments.
So how much, I mean, but how much did White House itself put into it to help the business owners?
Zero.
Oh, there was
$200,000 from the grant and then $200,000 of the private commitment.
So we wouldn't have to match?
Correct.
Their investment was only with the park.
Right.
City's investment.
Did they get that $370,000?
Sorry?
Did they go and get those commitments up front before
Yes.
they applied?
Yes. Okay, part of the application.
That's what we need to do now.
Right.
And can we combine it with part of it for public parking lot and part of it for private buildings? See, that seems like something we shouldn't ignore. It seems like we should try to do that. City Council will determine how much they might want to commit out of their own capital funds, but to offer this to downtown businesses makes sense. There's already been a lot of capital investment made by property owners downtown, but there's more left to do, there's no doubt about it. The old Herb's Auto Park is the second part of that is certainly an eligible first project for that.
Well, and certainly, Mayor, you can see the benefits of these projects when you drive around Maumee, for example. I mean, it's pretty clear that they've systematically gone after that goal. So, Paul, as you do this in other communities, how do you engage the municipality? I mean, what's the process look like? Again, 2 months is sort of aggressive, it seems to me. But
because it's federal money, you would need to procure our services. The one issue that I would need to address up front is whether Lucas County is going to have their consultant administered. And I think that's something that you will need to actually decide on as well. Because this money is coming to Lucas County on your behalf.
Wait.
Lucas County will be the grantee. So they'll be the ones that will be administering.
Is that an engineering consultant or what kind of a consultant is it?
Planning and for the county, I believe it's WSOS. That's their consultant right now for CDBG and their CHIP program.
Is that a public agency?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it is.
Bill or Mayor, where does the money come from for this?
Well, we've been talking about the $7,500.
Yeah, where's the money? Where is it?
We have either already in Kevin's budget or we will find a special project fund for $7,500. It's not hard to find.
Yeah.
Do you spend that before you know which project you want
Yes.
to do, or should we put a project together first?
Well, we're going to pay them to help us put the
road without it itself. They will actually figure out what project.
Well, they'll help.
Bill, really, what's your recommendation on this right now? You've been pursuing
it. I support doing it. I think we've looked at other communities, and again, I figure We to get in the game, you have to make an application. I think there's a couple steps. I think hiring a consultant to work with the property owners to identify projects, talking to the county, identifying, you know, we might find out that there's like with last year, knowing that White House was the only one that applied and they were able to get the grant, got the support.
We just don't want to put the effort and money into it if there's another community that's going to get consideration ahead of us in Lucas County. We need to check that out first.
We'll check that out.
Paul, you seem to be thinking we'd be all right in that regard. But let's confirm.
My understanding, but again,
feel you can get the work done in 7 to 8 weeks. I guess that's the thing. That seems like a really aggressive timeline.
Probably be needing the help of the community itself, the chamber, and the downtown people.
Okay, April, what do they want the application about?
There is no, this is the Lucas County deadline.
Lucas County deadline, right.
And I have not seen that date yet, sir.
But you thought it was sometime in April,
right.
Sometime in April.
You need two public hearings before you submit the application in June.
I think around the council table, we probably have the ability to have a candid conversation with Megan and find out what the chances are here. We can find that out before we sign anything.
You just have two public hearings. Where are the public hearings?
That's the county's responsibility. One is kind of general as to what's available to the county from the state federal funds. And then one is the specific as to what specifically the county's going to apply for. And it's usually probably in mid or early June before the application is sent to the state, June 20th. And that the ads in the paper.
So our current knowledge is that Lucas County can submit up to 3 applications, is that right?
Correct.
Okay. And do we know for certain that anybody else is preparing one of these?
At this point, no.
Okay, do we suspect anybody else is preparing?
I know of Mommy's interest, but I don't know whether in fact they are going to.
Is it 3 this year or 2?
2 this year because one was funded.
But the county could shoot them out, shoot them down, right?
Yes.
As they could shoot us down.
If Mommy hires you first, does that mean you can't do ours, or can you do both of them, or how does that work? I mean.
At this.
Or is it just whoever says we want?
The longer we wait and proceed, you know, time is of the essence. Obviously, if you're going to apply for this year, to get the application together and get the commitments of the property owners and to identify the projects.
I'm just asking if Mommy says, yes, we're going to do it. Paul, we want you to write the application for us. And then 4 days later, we say, yes, we want to do it. Is that a conflict for you, or could you do both of them, or is that going to be a problem? Like, you see what I'm saying? Are we in competition with trying to say yes before Mommy does?
I think only one can be submitted because the county has got one funded last year.
I think there's. We take one or the other.
Yeah, okay.
And only one can be submitted, so whoever steps up first.
Correct.
Yeah, I think the timing is important here. You know, I think it is important to show that we're interested and get it on the public record that we want to move forward if we do. Paul, a question for you. If we did the work this year, is any of the work product relevant for subsequent years? I mean, can you use the same basic background information to do a grant in 2015 or 16? So we wouldn't be not be able to repurpose that information that you put together. What's the sense of the group? I in a way, it seems like a small investment to test the water on this minimally, but I'd certainly defer to other thought.
I think we should go for it. I mean, based on what I'm hearing, it sounds, and particularly if we can use this information for the future, it seems like it's a good investment to go forward.
I could follow up with the county right away and then communicate everyone as to the timing to see if they've got a deadline and then identifying any other projects in the account.
And $7,500 feels like not a high risk.
It's a fair number, yeah.
No, it is a small number. It would be much easier to do this if we had some idea of what we're going to do.
Right.
If we were here with, if we had downtown business owners who had ideas about what they wanted to apply for, and now we're going to try and hurry up and do this really, really quickly. And I guess $7,500 is a small investment to do that. Next year, if we're back here, I would hope that we'd have a more developed proposal before we decided to go forward. I mean, it seems to me, I mean, I don't know enough about this to have in my mind the projects that we're going to go out and talk to our downtown business owners about.
Yeah.
And Katie might, you might, others might. Bill, you may have that in mind. I'm not hearing those. So I'm not sure what we're doing.
The feedback, Doug, I'd say that I've gotten from the downtown business owners is when you are ready and they know this is a potential program, then they're going to invest the time and get involved and identify projects. If it's something that this might happen or we're thinking about doing it, it's hard for them to put together something and spend the time to prepare for that. I mean, if you come back and say, we're going to have a program, we need you to come in, here's the parameters, we've got the person to talk to, then we can put it together pretty quick.
Is it fair to say, though, Bill, that you probably, in your head at least, have some ideas of what projects are out there that we might be able to approach for this?
Yes.
I think it's also interesting that Katie raises the parking piece. We'll, you know, in the next couple of weeks, have some very definitive ideas about that. Leslie, what's the process? What do we have to do here? I assume that at the very end of the process, even if we pass a resolution or pass legislation to hire Pogelmeier, if we get signals that we're not going to be making the cut, we could not sign that agreement, right? Just because we passed the enabling legislation doesn't mean we have to do it.
What we would do today is order legislation to prepare, be prepared for our next meeting and do some intelligence between now and our next meeting and then go or no go. I mean, we don't have enough time to do anything else. I mean, we're not prepared to, and we can't do the legislation tonight. So the fastest we could act would be at our next meeting.
Unless you've got one of those Jim Mohn pull a rabbit out of his hat pieces of legislation. You do not. Well, I say that with love, by the way.
Well, I don't think she, in fairness to Leslie, I don't think she really had any idea what she was going to get here tonight.
Yeah.
Because I didn't either.
But that would be the recommendation if you just want to order legislation and then we'll have the ordinance for the next meeting.
That's still, that takes 2 weeks out of the process. Is that a problem?
Well, I mean, Bill, you can start working on this
tomorrow.
You know, I mean, there's, we don't have, we won't have our Pogelmeier assistants, but we'll have, we can start.
Buy some commitment letters or sheets to interested property owners that should you apply for a grant and you may be eligible for a $10,000 grant, how much are you willing to invest in your building we're planning on anyway?
Yeah.
And this is for code items and also for exterior improvements, awnings, windows, signs, landscaping, what have you.
Yeah, and what I would hope is that we authorize this preparation of legislation. When the legislation comes before us, we have some more intelligence about what we're thinking about applying for.
Right.
That doesn't need to be, I'm not talking about locking it in stone. I'm talking about, you know, what kinds of things are we kind of thinking about? And then we can go out and nail down the commitments over, you know, in a relatively short period of time. I mean, we've got, you know, a month and a half to get this pulled together.
Right.
So
that's,
Bill, the people that, the businesses that you had lined up last year for tier three that we didn't get, would it be reasonable to get them in the loop and then just go with that? Or do you feel like you have to talk to everybody again and do the whole survey? Or
I think just communicate, and because it's a little different. It's a little different, the type of project, so it could be small. I think that the size was important.
But mentally, they were ready to commit.
Oh, yeah, we put that together.
Versus other people might be, like, struggling with, oh, my God, I only have 2 weeks, and that's a lot of money. But at least we know that those people that were in line were ready, and maybe they still are.
Right, I think that's where we would start. And again, the process, I think the awards are made in September, so it's a while before the commitments would have to be made financially.
I think we're at a point where we need a motion, Mr. Milner.
I move that we recommend to council to authorize the administration to prepare legislation for the next council meeting to move forward with this grant.
Second.
Okay, Milner moved, Hussman seconded that we recommend to council tonight to retain Pogelmeier to prepare the grant. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay.
Thank you.
Paul, around here we call that progress. I don't know if it seems like it to you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming over tonight. Okay, the second piece of discussion that we have on the agenda is downtown parking, which is a big topic. And I wonder if we shouldn't think about it in a way that recognizes that we've got a set of discussion points that focus a lot on parking on the west side of Main Street and basically the civic lot behind this building. A lot of discussion about that. but also have some very big projects that we've talked about from a infrastructure investment standpoint. For sure, there was some discussion when Cheryl came and talked to us last time about a parking garage, for example. We have talked a bit about revisiting the parking on the east side of Main Street, basically along Summit, the property that's now owned by JDRM and the Stansleys. What I think it would be helpful as we move through this as a committee to take some of the big issues and make some decisions about them so that they don't start interfering with the discussion about some of the more routine issues. And I guess I'd like to suggest that maybe we spend some time tonight talking about what council's attitude is about the parking garage concept, and also what council's attitude is about the parking on the east side of Main Street project, so that perhaps we come back with in a second meeting, or if we have time, some time tonight, to talk about sort of the pieces and parts that would go into the civic parking lot here. As I was going through my notes, I think I had 20 separate suggestions that came out of our discussions over the last couple of weeks. We're going to have to figure out a way to deal with that. So how does the committee feel about dealing with the two big ones tonight and then going on and dealing with the smaller ones later?
It's fine.
Yeah, okay. And the biggest of the big ones is the parking garage, right? It's been mentioned. It keeps getting mentioned around here. I don't think Cheryl, in her presentation, felt that it was an urgent need today. She recommended, in fact, that it's something that we should take a look at. Certainly begin thinking about it, but take a look at in earnest maybe 2 or 3 or 4 years down the road. Or if there's some significant change in our downtown dynamic that would require substantially more parking, the addition of 300 new jobs would probably get our attention as far as buildings creating more parking. So I guess it would be helpful to start about, what do we think about a parking structure? Do we take it off the table for a while, or is it something that we want to stay and keep in the mix?
I don't think it's something we want to do right now. I mean, I think it's something we want to keep in mind, but it's not a short-term project. It's a longer-term consideration. Be really nice to think about it in terms of other downtown significant development.
I agree with Doug's comments. I don't think that it's something that there's a need for right now, and I think that it would certainly change the feel of the downtown area, and right now we don't have that need, so I'd rather not look at that as a primary option. I'd rather explore the other options first.
Cheryl put it, the trigger points. I don't think we've investigated all of our trigger points, and we're not to that level yet. And if we built a parking garage over our municipal lot while that other lot on the east side is still a mess, it just doesn't, it's not going to make a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, the dollars and cents have a $25,000 to $30,000 of space.
It's a serious consideration.
Serious money.
Spoken. is there, Mayor, anything that we're missing here as far as parking garage around the administration table? Should we be concerned about this?
No, it should always be in our minds that in 10, 20 years we might want to do that. Don't do anything that prohibits that in the future.
Yeah.
But, and remember that if you're going to build a parking garage out here, you've got to put that parking lot out of commission for several months during construction. It will be a difficult project.
Yeah. I would encourage us, though, not to think necessarily about a parking garage just here, just in the municipal space. You know, there are other spaces potentially. I think even in the plan that JJR gave us, there was a SOMO site. There were a couple of other sites as well. So what I hear council saying is that we probably, I'm not sure I'd agree with the 10, 15 years off notion, but I don't think I would be intending to revisit it again for another 3 or 4 or 5 years.
Well, Mark, I think my intent and my comment was parking garage in the municipal lot. I mean, I don't see a parking garage in the municipal lot, but I don't I wouldn't rule out that there's someplace else downtown. Who knows what someone will become and what those opportunities would be. So if that's what you're saying, I think I'm agreeing with you.
And what I'm saying is that it could be the municipal lot, but it doesn't need to be the municipal lot, okay? It could be someplace that we find is more convenient to some jobs or more convenient to some commercial development or whatever it may be, right? And I think the message to our, we did have, and Bill went away, right? Oh, I believe you said that some of the downtown merchants really like the idea of downtown.
Yes.
Okay. But I think our message therefore to them is that we're not going to abandon it completely as a council, but we're just going to wait for the appropriate time. Is that fair to say?
There were, I think, about four very strong supporters, but those are located, you know, near, you know, on the west side of Main Street and use the municipal lot there now.
And to the mayor's comment, it is going to be, it would be a very messy process if it was in this immediate area. And I specifically remember a lot of the SEMO plans showing, particularly if that development with lots of jobs down there with a tiered structure. So that might be a more feasible area.
Yeah, and again, as a practical matter, I think our city budget is stretched to even do one of these kind of big projects. But if we did it, I think we'd want to get as much multiple use out of it and multiple benefit as possible. So unless I hear any other objections, it sounds like maybe the message to the community is this is something that we don't see a critical need for now. We think we can work and solve some of our problems in other ways in the short term, and that we might come back and revisit this, A, if there's a need, or B, if we just decide in a couple of years that we want to just revisit the idea in the 3, 4, 5 year time frame. Fair? Yeah.
I think what I hear is that let's look at the smaller investment ideas over the parking garage at this point. I think once we start to investigate those ideas, we will know when or if we need a parking garage. So I think I'd like to put that at the bottom of the list and start with some of these other smaller things. Use that space. One that comes to mind is the street parking on the north side of Maplewood on Main.
Parallel parking,
or I don't know, I'm thinking just one side of the street, like the Sylvania Historical Village side, and maybe some angle parking there. I don't know, that would
angle
be,
parking. Yeah, that's
somebody
right.
would
yeah.
have to draw that up other than myself, but that doesn't sound like a huge investment, but boy, we'd get parking kind of like right there, I mean, yeah. without involving the other idea with the east parking lot, so-called, and getting the owners of that parking lot to coordinate with us and make that one big, beautiful parking lot much more useful
yeah.
than it is
yeah.
at this point in time, especially with all the snow banks piled up at every one of the lines in the parking lot. You know, you lose so much. Those, I think, are two ideas that we need to investigate. And then maybe if none of those work out, then maybe we're back at looking at the parking garage
because
we don't have any alternatives.
Fair enough. And I've asked Bill tonight, every time somebody mentions one of those small kind of ingenious projects that might help us with parking, like the angle parking that you mentioned, I've asked Bill to make a note of it so that we can bring it forward when we discuss this in greater detail. So hopefully we'll capture every one of those good ideas as we discuss this tonight and have a basis of ways.
I think there is. I vaguely recall 2 or 3 years ago when we were discussing this that there was a study done of angle parking on Main Street. And for some reason, we only picked up 10 or 15 slots because the street's not wide enough for angle parking on both sides? Or
Mr. Ballmer drew several solutions for us, and we didn't pick up 10 or 15. We only picked up a couple.
Yeah, it was very minimal, but there is a study out there someplace in the records.
Kevin,
didn't you Didn't Sandy, weren't you thinking about the north part of Main Street, past Maplewood? Like by the...
Well...
Yeah, because...
Even when we do the car shows...
There's no parking there now.
And we try to do angle parking, it's very, very narrow. You have to really be careful with, do angle on one side, and we're possibly do, you know, parallel parking on the other one. It's very, the street's just, it's probably 5 feet too narrow.
Right.
And you're not going to pick up anything, because our sidewalks are very narrow out on Main Street.
Right.
We wouldn't want to take away from the walkway. I do, would like to suggest that we strongly work with the business owners to develop a plan for their employees to park away from the businesses. I think that's key right now. It's an easy fix, and if we can get the business owners to have their employees park on the other side of the railroad tracks or in the back or whatever, and leave spaces open next to the businesses, because that's what they complain about. Their customers can't find a place to park close to the business. I think that's key to the whole thing right now.
Yep.
And you know, that's not a cost issue. That's just a management issue of getting in a cooperation issue with the business owners of coming up with a plan to have the employees park further back in the parking lot or on the, preferably on the other side of the railroad tracks.
You know, again, I think that's one of those issues that we can talk about in more detail. I think Bill, I hear Bill's marker working back there, so I think he wrote it down. And we need to talk about the specifics of that, you know, how that might work. But let's go back to the parking structure. I think, Sandy, you made a good point. Mary, you made a good point. We'll just leave that as something that we push out into the future, the indefinite future. Let's go back, though, and talk about the lots on the east side of Main Street, the Summit Street piece. That's the second one that seems to take a lot of high profile. We talked with those owners, how long ago, Mayor, 2008, 2009? And that was a different set of owners in some regard at that point. Obviously, economics have changed. The attitudes of the city have changed. So I guess a second question on the table is whether council has interest in going back and revisiting those owners and determining whether there is some possibility of reconfiguring those lots, keeping them in private hands, but create some different striping, some different traffic flow, maybe get some agreement to create visibility that it could be used for public parking. I think Jim had started that process. I think the city has resources to do that again, the administration, if we wanted to do it. So, Doug, you mentioned this last time, I think. What is our thinking about that?
I know we have some different owners. Maybe now would be a time to approach and have some more discussions and see what we're open to.
We ran into a roadblock before with the owner of the old Apple Tree Chandler building. He's since sold the building. We have a more open-minded ownership there now. We might be able to tie it together. But without the cooperation of that property, we're in a tough spot.
I think it makes good sense to both these owners you're talking about, I view as big supporters of our community, and I think it's be very wise to revisit it.
So do we put that assignment in the hands of the administration? Okay, is that something that we...
Yeah, Mark, started on that process with the interview process for the meeting, the last meeting, so I can continue and then come back with some analysis or report of what could be possible back there.
I wonder if it's possible to think about using that Tier 2 money for that parking lot.
Right. I think that's how I'm going
to... And try to push it within the next 2 weeks. You can probably at least get a feeling for it.
Right. I think that's the step. And again, talking to the two owners of the major lots on that side, they're interested and open to this discussion. So now just talking about what kind of cost we would be looking at if we did something over there.
Mayor's comment.
Kevin Echols stood in front of us just a few minutes ago and said he can't use it for private parking. even though they might be public-minded, it's still in private hands. We can't use that.
Well, maybe we could change that.
Or use it for signage. I mean, there might be some public.
We can certainly do that.
Yeah.
But we can't use it to approve that paving or anything like that on private hands. However, we can use it, I think, if they're willing to donate money, the matching share towards it possibly, as a part of their building improvements. That's a way we could look at.
Right.
I'm not clear from what he said, but I think that might be our. There's also, there's another possibility over there that we'll talk about.
Yeah, I think, you know, if we put it back in the city's hands, in the administration's hands, to look at all the possibilities, would there be some benefit to draw upon Jim Moen's resources? I don't know what his deal is these days, but.
We're expecting him to have him back on staff March 4th.
Okay, so we're close enough that maybe we could draw upon his expertise as well. Okay. Do we need?
I think he needs time off to March 4th.
Time off? What?
Yeah, I don't think he's available to us before March 4th.
Okay.
He's got some PERS issues there.
Yeah, right. We know that. So do we? I don't think we need to vote if there's a sense of counsel to ask the administration. Is 30 days fair to have you come back with the recommendation?
You can report to us anytime, but.
Yeah, sooner. If success breaks out, that would be great.
As soon as Jim.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, Leslie.
Right? No, I'll be happy to dig out what he has. And I did look at them, and I've got his old correspondence.
Yeah, and, you know, there were some, I'm thinking of some other new developments maybe. You know, there's that residential structure right on the edge of the parking lot.
Right.
I don't know if he looked at that last time. It'd be nice to look at that again.
Yeah, we'll take them.
And I think there may be some folks that are just intransigent who don't want to play along, and I'm not sure that we should worry about that. We should try to see what we could possibly do to the positive.
Yeah, we can at least get a sense for what the attitude is.
Okay, good. We've got about 10 or 15 minutes before we have to be done. Let's then go look at the municipal parking lot situation. We've heard a couple of ideas already. Mike's idea about getting the employees to move to locations further back. I think there are a couple other ones that were mentioned. Well, might as well just have some discussion now about some other thoughts that the council members have, and even if we could just capture them tonight and come back and prioritize them next at a second meeting, I think that'd be helpful. So anything else that anybody wants to suggest?
The other thing is, you know, they brought up the dumpster. You know, we have the dumpster sitting in prime parking spots. You know, can we move those?
Move
them? I know why they're there. They're for convenience and for the truck to get in and out and pick them up. But I notice there's two in this parking lot, and I'm assuming that they're owned by the business owners. Because one is Republic and the other one is Stevens. But we have the recycling bins on the other side, and I think there's three or four over there. Because those would be moved to a different location and free up some parking spots.
Because they're on city property.
Or consolidated. I mean, do you need three, or can you just have one picked up more than once?
One other thing, I'm saying a lot here, but I really believe in my heart, no matter what we do to the west parking lot, if we don't have a walk through the main street, it's not going to be fully utilized.
You're talking the one by the court building?
No, pardon?
No, through the business.
Oh, a walk through to Main Street?
Walk through to Main Street from the parking lot, like they do on the east side.
Up the street?
Yeah.
Yeah, through back next to
the church. That's a key issue of utilizing this back park, the west parking lot, is have so people don't have to walk all the way around the block, and it'll become more visible if they see it, that there's a walk through and stuff. That's just my thought on that. I think that's key.
Okay. What else?
This is kind of a big idea, but I often wonder about speaking with the owners of the Thormont building and looking at the possibilities of moving them to SOMO, doing something to get that development going. If you think about those businesses, moving them to SOMO, and I realize it'd have to be very creative how it would be done. I don't know if it can be done as far as tax-free trades and things like that, but just there's a big block there that we don't want to lose those businesses, but might be able to accomplish a couple things if we could jumpstart SOMO and create more space here.
Okay, that is a big commitment.
So, Bill, I know you've been talking to the old post office parking lot people.
Absolutely.
You've been talking, is it Udell or Udell? You've been talking to them about event parking. I mean, do you think there's any opportunity that we could, like building on Mike's idea, having employees park in the old post office parking lot? I mean, is there any kind of arrangement we could work out with those people? There's a parking lot that's already built and it's empty. It's huge.
I can bring that up. That was not what I asked him, but what he was open to on special events, we could use that for parking. So that we can try that and look at some other areas for people to park and walk to. I had not thought of that. That's an option. And then just, and you may know this already, but with Reeve Funeral Home, they're very agreeable and helpful when they're lot is available. They do not chase people out. They allow it for community events. They're very community minded, and that lot is always available for a lot of people to park for some of our community events.
Can we put a sign there so people know they're welcome? I mean, because people are rule followers when it comes to parking. Nobody wants to get a ticket or have their car towed.
If I had a suggestion, Mark, and it's a good point that Katie brings up, the whole signage thing does need to be looked at. Of what where parking is. We've got some great signing as part of the wayfinding. I think it maybe it's not enough and it's not large enough. Just maybe to look at that all again. I know there was a lot of thought into that, but it's limited. So there could be some more signage done, and we might have to get some direction on how to direct to private lots for signage too. But definitely I think that should be a component, is just a review and suggestions for signage.
Okay, write it down.
Bill, I'm going to give you one additional. Is there anything we can do about the renters in the apartments on Main Street not parking on Main Street, not only during business hours, whatever, but also during the snow emergencies? I went down Main Street this morning, and there's a car, and there's snow piled up all around it. It makes our road difficult for our road crews to clear Main Street. And I bet that the car is probably still sitting out there right now, that when they rent, they have a specific place that they park in the back. You know, why does it have to be on Main Street? I mean, the sign says 3-hour limit.
Can we just have no overnight?
I don't enforce it, but there's one or two cars that are there 12 to 24 hours at a time, sometimes longer. And that end of Main Street looks terrible right now because the plows couldn't plow the snow. And maybe we can set up an agreement with them that there's a couple spots in the back along the fence or something like that specify for the residents to keep them off Main Street.
A couple things. I think communicating to them at their apartment, and I've seen if they have a car, where they park, tell them the rules of where they can and cannot park and how things should be enforced. But what's happening in downtown right now is some of the apartments have been eliminated that were above some of the places. And the Sylvan Studio is in the process of eliminating, they've got, I think, 5 or 6 apartments up there, and they're in the process of putting more office space and some other things. So it's kind of been taking care of itself a little bit. But yeah, I don't like to see that either, and I think maybe communicating with them and working with the police about the time limits and
I'm just trying to work it out an agreement with them so that they don't park on Main Street. I know why he parks.
It's convenient.
Because he can walk right up those steps to
right.
apartment before he parks on the street. But it's causing problems for not only the store owners, but for the street crew. just think it's inappropriate to have them parked there for the long periods of time that they do.
What about the owners of Haymarket Square? Is that a possibility as part, that's a pretty big lot. Is that a lot that we could,
They're just recently, I know they're full capacity now with their stores. I think they're pretty agreeable on some of the events too, that they're not chasing people out, but there's really not a lot of extra space there right now. What might be though, they also own the house that's right across the street from that, on Main Street. There's definitely space behind there that could be looked at for some parking.
You know, from that standpoint, I think Cheryl either mentioned it in her presentation or mentioned it to me before her presentation. A number of communities like ours are identifying what she called infill parking, which are exactly the kinds of things that we've just been talking about. The space behind the old post office, a lot that's occupied by a home that might be put to better use for parking. I just wonder if we shouldn't at least talk about the notion of doing an inventory of properties or adjacent to the downtown area that we could use for infill parking, see what the cost benefit of it is, and if it justifies creating little pocket parking lots. Put it on the list. Did he put it on the list? I hope he did. You know, I have one other one, and maybe this is unpopular, so I'm going to mention it. Maybe it's the last thing we talk about tonight, and that is just enforcement out of our existing parking laws. I mean, this clearly is a matter that we have to discuss with the police department, but I think we do have three-hour parking limits a lot of places here, and I'm less optimistic that you can mandate where employees park than you are, Mike. I mean, I'd like to think that a boss could make his employees park far away, but I'm not sure they always can. And especially with the addition, with the opening of our morning breakfast place here, where Patty Jack's used to be, there's going to be a premium on places to park, because that, I think, is going to be a hugely popular destination in the mornings. So, you know, we have, I think, three-hour parking limits in some places downtown. We don't really enforce it, I don't believe. And I guess I'd like to have some discussion about that. I know that I read in the paper last week that people like our parking-friendly policy here, you know, and I understand that, but the question becomes, what are we giving up if we don't at least nominally enforce some of those things?
Bill, did you have any feedback from business owners on that? Like, my conversations have indicated kind of a wide variance in what people like there. Some people think 3 hours, so if you get into another whole discussion, is 3 hours enough? Should it be four? Should it be five? I'm just curious if you had any, and to maybe just goes on the list and use a little more vetting in terms of the detail of it.
We should probably look at the time. I didn't ask specifically that, but I think 3 hours was a good number. I know some people would like to see it shorter, but again, it just gets into enforcement. But more of the issue is getting those all day, those 8 hour parkers not in those front spots. Then the turnover really won't be an issue. But if we just keep those spots open, and again, that's where we might have to have some enforcement. Enforce on that, don't enforce on the customers that are coming down using the different businesses in downtown.
And so, and again, maybe this is the next meeting. The conversations that I had indicate if you're coming down to eat something and then to shop for a bit, 3 hours might not be enough, right? So I think it's just vetting those issues a little bit. I don't know what that magical number is.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but that we could probably, I can add that, that's something we should.
What do other communities do? Is there a standard?
Right.
Maybe 3 hours is the standard, and that's how we got there.
Yeah, I did find out that people are reading the signs, because they, when I was doing the interviews, they said patrons would say, am I going to get a ticket? I've been out there an hour. They'd run out and make sure that they weren't getting ticketed or something, and that wasn't the case. So people are aware.
I think the fact that we don't meter speaks to friendliness. I mean, when I'm downtown Toledo, you're always thinking, looking at the meter, okay, can I park? And do I have to run back and feed the meter? So,
I'm sure people here have heard me grouse about the fact that I actually think they're guilty of entrapment sometimes. You know, they look for it for the meter to flip over and then they pounce on the car. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We don't want to do that.
You know, I do think that just in making sure that we vet all of the ideas and we've got everything on this wonderful list that Bill's together with, there are a couple things that we've talked about in the past that I haven't heard surface today that may not be particularly popular again, but I'd like to at least make sure we include them as some kind of a conversation around the police cars and what does that mean. You know, is there some some number of cars that could be on the other side. And I think, again, that has to be vetted by, you know, the chief. And then also, is there any kind of easier way to do a cross over from the lots that are on the west coming over the railroad tracks? Now, we talked a little bit about that, but Cheryl didn't really answer that question last time, if there's any way for us to have better signage or better marking or a better location for a crossover. And, you know, would that help? It's certainly not in the dead of winter. It might not be a huge benefit, but on a beautiful summer day, it could be a benefit.
Right. I'd like to add to your list something that's also unpopular, at least council does, I don't think is of a single mind. We bought property, the Laros property, recently. You know, at what point do we fold that into our parking mix? Is that, would that be valuable as parking for employees? And does that help? I'm not saying I'm for it or against it. I think we should discuss it.
Well, the chief may throw something at me, but is there room in the administration building for the police department to move into that building? Is that, is it possible so that this particular building could be used, knocked down? Are you all going to throw something? Knocked down and use this for parking?
Let's look at that historically.
Okay.
Back in the 90s, before the new court building was built, we had a plan to add onto this building without taking parking spaces so that the court could stay in this building. It was like a $1.7 million addition. And even though we weren't going to take away any parking spaces in the end, we were going to take them during construction. And then we still have all that traffic. Just think if all that court traffic was still on this side of the track. So the decision was made to build a new courthouse, which cost more than $1.7 million, and created a lot of disruption with the neighborhood, just like the building in the new city hall did, because we were encroaching onto the residential area west of the tracks. But in hindsight, it was certainly the right thing to do. And I think eventually relocating the police department out of this building over to the other side of the tracks and making this parking is probably the right one of the long-term possibilities. No, there's not currently space in the administration building, but there's space to add on. We can move first floor offices up to the second up to the third, which is empty right now, and add on to the building. Council would have to decide if they want to replace their council meeting room or start using the courtroom again in the court building. This used to be the courtroom, and council made it a council meeting room because it was still here. So that's something to be considered. But I'd much rather spend $3 or $4 million on a new police station than $3 or $4 million on a parking structure. I mean, that just makes more sense. And the comment was made earlier about going over here to the properties along Monroe Street, not just the Thurmont building, but the other strip building across from the fire station. We had a drawing from JJR showing that, if you recall. That was part of the earlier study. So those are all things that we can take a look at. But I hate to tear down commercial structures, but a city building, get it out of the way, rather to invest building money into this building, which was built in the 60s, and is probably not the design we have for a strictly a police building. We move them over to the municipal cluster on the other side of the tracks. That is the right thing to do. I mean, we had space to put a fire station there. We certainly have space to put a fire or a police department there, whether it's attached to the municipal building or not. So that is a definite long-term consideration. It should be the same as a parking garage, or you do both. The parking garage goes at Solo, and you vacate this and make it a surface lot. So those are all creative thinking that are difficult to get to. People do not like change. I remember when I built City Hall on the other side of the tracks, I got a petition of over 300 homeowners on the other side of the tracks explaining to me why I was nuts to be proposing putting City Hall over there. The mayor graciously got out of the way and let me take that hit. I was the fourth mayor. I was the youngest person on council. Chairman Billy Brown's on my hand. but that, you have to look forward. You have to have long-range plans. But that's certainly not a near-term plan.
Yeah. Well, look, we're at 7:30. I think we have some good ideas. What I hope to do next time is have the ideas that Bill wrote down and any others that council members might want to suggest And let us maybe even come up with some voting method to identify the ones that we think are the highest probability ones to solve the problem in the short term. Maybe we can discuss them in that order then, you know, in terms of the most likely to least likely, and see if we can set another meeting and actually spend some time coming up with some recommendations to the administration. So in council meeting, we'll set that up and hopefully get that done in the short term. Anything else for this committee meeting? Okay. Why don't we adjourn at 7:30 rather, and what, take 5 minutes, Mayor, before we start? Okay.